A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you came from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text was read as the gospel lesson, and we'll begin from there. O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So my wife and I moved about a year ago to a new townhome, and we had some problems with doors. Our front door does not shut securely. The frame is kind of coming off the wall, and our bedroom door is non-existent. It doesn't exist. So we don't have a bedroom door, and we have two small children who we never know might come up and visit us in our bedroom. So that's fun. And to make it worse, the door frame for our bedroom is narrow. It's very narrow, narrower than an average-sized door or one of the other doors in our house. Additionally, the stairs that go up to our bedroom begin in the doorway. So we'd have to cut the door shorter than a normal door or the doorway. And finally, the door opens outward because of the stairs there, and so the door would stick into our hallway. I never knew there was so much agonizing over doors. And yet that's exactly what Jesus said on his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Jesus, being a carpenter's son, starts talking about doors. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Are only a few people going to be saved? You wonder sometimes, don't you? When you look at the world as it is right now, when you see the diminishing impact that Christianity seems to have on our culture, when you see the damaging impact that our culture seems to be having upon Christians, when churches have become houses of entertainment or personal therapy or anything really other than places where repentance and forgiveness are proclaimed in the name of Jesus, will only a few be saved? Whatever the motives of the man who asked this question of Jesus, he assumes that salvation is for the few and not the many. You know, that the kingdom of God is an exclusive country club, a refuge for the religious, a sanctuary for the salvageable, a health spa for the spiritually fit. That salvation is for winners. Jesus describes salvation in terms of doors, specifically narrow and wide doors. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Make every effort is really one word in the Greek. It is the word hagonizomai. You can hear our English word agonize in there. Hagonizomai means to strive, to struggle, to exert enormous effort, like in an Olympic wrestling match. See, wrestlers will hagonizomai to win the contest and prevail in the end. And that's how the word is used here when Jesus says, agonize to enter through the narrow door. Now, let's be clear. This agonizing doesn't come from worrying about our salvation. Like, oh, am I really going to get in or not? Am I on the guest list? This agonizing doesn't come from working hard for our salvation by limiting our sins or doing plenty of good works. Let me say that again. This agonizing doesn't come from working hard for our salvation, you know, by limiting our sins or doing plenty of good works. This agonizing doesn't come from being part of the right faith heritage, Abraham's, Luther's, or otherwise. Rather, salvation is already yours. You're already on the guest list. The narrow door to heaven is already open to you. So where does the agonizing come in? Right here, right now, in this lifetime. You know this agony. You feel this agony. There are three behemoth wrestlers on the other side of the mat, ready to tag team against little old you. You strive to come to church, but your sinful flesh wants to work hard during the week, party hard on the weekend, and rest on Sunday morning. It feels like agony to get out of bed and sit in the pew for an hour, or struggle against the traffic in our part of the country. You struggle to be hopeful and upbeat as a Christian, but the current political process doesn't leave you with a lot of hope for the future, while your medical prognosis doesn't leave you with a lot of hope for the present. You hear about one public school that won't call their students boys and girls, but rather scholars, and another public university that won't allow Christians to ask to pray for fellow students. You try to speak out in a culture that stifles consciences. It feels like agony as the world conspires against you. You make every effort to live the Christian life at work and home, but you are so tired, and your kids are so aggravating, and your boss is so irritating. You know what temptations are alluring, what lust is addicting, which sin is habit-forming. It is hard to bite your tongue, to overcome temptation, to live the Christian life. It feels like agony as the devil turns his onslaught against you. Your flesh, the world, and then the devil, each tagging in, each one right after the other, each taking a turn to see if they can defeat you and pin you to the mat. All these forces are trying to keep you from entering the narrow door. So you see what we're up against. It is indeed an effort, an agonizing struggle to live as a Christian and to keep the faith. It's like St. Paul explains, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Being a Christian is not easy. It requires continuous effort. It calls for continuing effort. That's why Jesus says here, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And then there's this narrow door business. I mean, what does Jesus mean by that? Does he know my bedroom door size? When Jesus says that the door is narrow, it means that there's just one way in. There are not many doors that open up to heaven, just one. It is through Jesus only, him alone, through use of his word and his sacrament solely, and nothing else. Jesus says, I am the doorway and the truth and the life. He also explains, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. There is a narrow door for you. It's Jesus. The way of Christ is a narrow, exclusive way. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. His death and resurrection are the only ways that lead to life. There is no other way. All other paths, no matter how pious, how religious, how rigorous, how righteous they might seem, run into the impenetrable brick wall of the law and only lead to weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this doorway is open for just a little while, only one lifetime. YOLO. The door slams shut at your death, or on the day of Jesus' return, whichever comes first, and you do not know the day or hour. Don't delay. Make use of God's word, his sacraments, repentance, forgiveness of sins offered freely for you, prayers and hymn use now and before you run out of time. There will be those who consider themselves good enough to enter heaven. After all, they were baptized and confirmed at one time. They can find themselves on the wrong side of that narrow door, banging and pleading that they are entitled to be let in, yet they allowed the unholy trinity of their flesh, the world, and the devil to defeat them. They never really agonized over their faith. They'll plead their case. We ate and drank with you and listened to you teach, but Jesus doesn't judge based on what we have done or what we are doing. Rather, he judges based on what we believe and in whom we believe. He will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. The door is narrow. But that doesn't mean you have to squeeze to fit in. It means that there is only one way to enter. But the door is wide open for you. Jesus has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Trust in him, only him, and you will be saved. That's the promise of God. That's his promise to you. And the Bible is full of his promises and promises fulfilled because our God is a faithful God. In fact, it was because of his promises that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem in our text here. We see that because there, on a scarred hill outside of Jerusalem, Jesus' arms were extended far and wide upon the cross. Those divinely human arms bore the full weight of the world's sins upon them. Those perfectly scourged arms opened wide the doorway to heaven so that all who believe in him might be saved. Those crucified and resurrected arms are waiting in heaven to embrace you into his kingdom. The door is open. Enter in. Yes, it is definitely agonizing to struggle and strive and wrestle against the unholy Trinity. It is hard work keeping the faith, sharing the faith, spreading the faith. We walk in danger all the way. But Jesus did the ultimate agonizing work for your salvation. He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, telling his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Then he agonized as he prayed to heaven, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup of agony be taken from me. The next morning, Jesus struggled under the weight of the cross and needed Simon of Cyrene to carry it to Golgotha's hill. And the next afternoon, Jesus cried out from the cross in agony, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus struggled and strove and agonized to open the door of salvation to all who believe in him as their crucified and resurrected Savior. The narrow door to the kingdom of heaven is also a wide door open to the nations. Jesus commanded his church to make disciples of all nations. The prophet Isaiah made this promise. He said the word of salvation would go out from Israel to Tarshish, to the Libyans and Lydians, to Tubal in Greece, to those who were ancient enemies of Israel, and to the distant islands that had not yet heard of the saving name of the Lord. They would all proclaim God's glory among the nations. Will only a few be saved? Well, that depends entirely on how you look at it. If you look at it from below, from our perspective, the answer is, well, not even a few, not even one, because no one can be saved by his or her own merits or works. For we have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. So if you look at it from what we can see and know on our own, you can never be sure that you are among the chosen few. But if you look at it from God's perspective, if you look at it from above, lensed through the narrow door of Jesus' cross, then the answer is not few, but many. It is a great multitude that no one can count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Not the exclusive few from a few chosen nation, but the inclusive many from all nations. People of all ages, cultures, and races, gathered from the ends of the earth to eat and take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Because in Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. Jesus wants you to agonize through the narrow door of salvation, the unholy trinity of your sinful flesh. The world and the devil are a formidable tag team trying to keep you from that door. But Jesus is your tag team partner. In fact, more than that, he's your pitch hitter. He's the one who goes in to fight this agonizing wrestling match that you're engaged in. In fact, he is your champion. He has already won the victory for you. He has opened the door for you. That narrow door is wide open for you to enter. Jesus agonized to open that door for you. So we can agonize, struggle, and make every effort to enter the door because we know the victory is ours. It has been promised and heaven is waiting. May God grant this to us all. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.